out of Psalm 23. But, and my Bible is open, around Psalm 23, there are many things happening in Psalms. Psalm 22, just the previous or the prior one to Psalm 23, is this wonderful psalm that Jesus quoted on the cross. And then you get Psalm 23, and then 24 is a beautiful psalm that says, the earth is the Lord's, everything in the world is His. A wonderful psalm. Psalm 25 starts off that says, in you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. Wonderful, wonderful. And Psalm 26 is beautiful. Psalm 27 is beautiful. And then they are all beautiful. But I want to read this morning and start off with this wonderful Psalm 29. And we discussed it during our leadership meeting of the church during this week. And it says, ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in splendor of His holiness. Verse 3 says, the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. How wonderful is that? I like those English words. And then it ends off that says, the Lord gives strength to His people. The Lord blesses His people with peace. So for homework this afternoon, you go and read the whole psalm. The voice of God. It's really a majestic psalm, to use that word. And this morning, he says, the Lord blesses His people with peace. And therefore, I greet you in the name of God the Father. We have His voice. The God's glory over the waters. I greet you in His name. And when we listen to this old story, His Son died and resurrected for us. Give us life. And how do we know it? Through the wisdom and guidance of the Holy Spirit. May God, the Lord, give strength to His people. The Lord blesses His people with peace. Amen. So this morning we are really honored to have Prof. Dolph Brits here with us. And I had this real bad realization this morning. He lectured to us in Stellenbosch University 40 years ago. That hurt me. 40 years ago. So this moment made me feel extremely old. But thank you. Thank you. I've listened to him, it's just wonderful. One thing that I realize about him is how he draws the lines of history. And we realize how important it is to see God in history, in His works, and the path and the ways and the journey of the church. So many things changed over 40 years within the church. And we stand with an open door to a new challenge in Namibia. And we said it. Our congregation, we said it a few times, we are here with a very specific reason, very significant point of our calling. We are here in this location here, location pin. I can't remember all the street. Daniel Mutwara Street. And we are called to be part of history. And every single moment that we listen to God, He takes us on this route. And so thank you, Prof, for being here. May God bless you. Please tell us about the Gereformeerde Theologische Academie, the Reformed Theological Academy. He's the principal thereof. So thank you, and we pray, and we listen, and yeah.
Thank you, kindly Reverend Andries. I remind myself him being in the class maybe yes, it's maybe a little bit of exaggeration to say once in a while he was there, but he was there. And indeed, in the examinations, he had the special gift to create in a very difficult situation, always with that give of creating words and concepts just to get him off the line at the time. And I granted him a few hundred years, you know, between dates that I inquired about, but once you're on the pulpit, there are no excuses when it comes to reading and ministering the gospel to Christ. And this is how I had the privilege to know him many, many years ago, when I was also shaped in a different way. Thank you for the opportunity to share God's word with you this morning. I'm going to read from Psalm 23. I'll lead us in a prayer, maybe just one or two words, because you requested it, with regards to this the Reformed Theological Academy. It's an institution of higher education. It presents Reformed theology. All our courses are online, and at the moment we are part of 35 institutions worldwide. We have an agreement with the Dutch Reformed Church in Namibia to provide courses for training for the ministry, and then at the same time we are we were established by the Reformed Churches in South Africa. And we are the institution that officially takes care of the training of Reformed ministers. Those of you who are Afrikaans, the Dopperkerk. The academy is the official institution that takes care of the theological education of Dopper Dominees. Because the agreement with the Northwest University terminates at the end of this year. At the moment, we are busy with the second year of training for Dopper Dominees. Next year, the third year, we offer a five-year program, and you graduate with a accredited master's degree in Reformed theology. Accredited in America, that would allow you to continue with doctoral studies in any university in Africa, in Europe, and the world. So by the way, that is it. It's based on Psalm 43, verse 3, send out your light and your truth. But that's it. Let us now prepare ourselves for prayer. It's led by the words in Ephesians, the letter to Ephesians, the first chapter as well as the third chapter. So let us bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we bow our knees before you because of Christ our Lord, because we do not belong to ourselves, we belong to Him through the Spirit and by the Word which we know, which we discover in our own lives, bearing fruit, giving us the words to pray, guiding our requests, enlightening our eyes and our hearts. We derive our name from Him, Christ Jesus, the Lord. Our names are thus written up in the book of life, that book in His right hand. Our names will there remain. For eternity. And we pray this morning when we open your word as we are, that you will strengthen us out of His glorious riches. By His power through the Word, in our inner being, where our deepest thoughts and thinking and engagement and remembrance and wishes dwell. We pray while we are rooted and established in your love that we may, in reading your word, in thinking about your word, in preaching the gospel, that we may grasp how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ our Lord is. It surpasses all knowledge that we have, that we may engage with, that we may be confronted with, that encounters us about ourselves, about our world, about our existence. And that we may be filled to the measure of all fullness of you, our Father. That is the reason why we kneel before you with empty hands. Grant us the mercy to receive what you meant to be received, to the glory of your name. Amen. Psalm 23. I'm reading, I think, from the New International Version. I am going to quote in the sermon from the standard English version. There are really no differences. But let us read Psalm 23, A psalm of David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside quiet waters, he restores my soul, he guides me in paths of righteousness. For his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely, surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So, brothers and sisters, verse 6, starting with surely, that's our verse that in which the sermon is embedded. Surely, goodness and mercy. That's what is actually meant in the Hebrew, not love, but mercy. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Look, the psalm is about the path of righteousness in which I am led. So what's following me? That's the important thing. What's following me? What is guiding me, what is pointing me in a direction. So it's not only about sharing a path, a way, but also being followed. What is following me? Goodness and love all the days of my life. And then I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because He, Jesus Christ, is not a hired hand. He enters the sheepfold by the door. A hired hand flees when he sees the wolf coming. A hired hand leaves the flock. A hired hand cares nothing when the flock is scattered, when a stranger, a robber, a thief, a wolf, even disguised as a shepherd, as a sheep himself, destroy and kills the flock. The Lord Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, not a hired hand. Hence, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me. Hence, I will dwell in his house and remain there while finding walking along the path of righteousness while being followed by goodness and mercy. That's the secret out of his hand. Until eternity. No one, no power, no hired hand, no disguised false shepherd, no stranger will ever knock me out of his hands. He is my shepherd. Thinking of goodness and mercy, brothers and sisters, it comes forth, proceeds from three things to remember. From the heart and life of Christ in eternity. From the heart and life of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's how the Bible reveals it unto us. It proceeds from God. That's why the Bible calls it goodness and mercy. And it proceeds from that period of time when Christ became man, when he was born and served and was crucified and he died and he was buried and he resurrected from the death. He broke the barriers of death. And he ascended into heaven. From that history, a mere 33 years, that history of Calvary, 3 days or a few hours on that Friday and Sunday, that history constitutes goodness and mercy that follows us, that surrounds us, that shapes our lives. And he ascended into heaven. So from him being seated on the throne of the Eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. From that throne proceeds goodness and mercy all the days of our lives. Blessed are you, says the Bible. Blessed are you. In prosperity, in adversity, in health, in sickness, in rain and drought, in riches and poverty, you will never lack goodness and mercy and a house to dwell in. I'm led on a path. I'm laid down. My soul is refreshed. Even in the midst of the shadows of death, I'm therefore comforted. Because the shepherd is not a hired hand. Goodness and mercy, grace, sufficient. These are all ingrained in me. You are blessed. The Lord is not a hired hand. Towards the end of his life, during the 40 days between his resurrection and his ascension, 40 days, he summoned his disciples to Galilee, where he started his ministry. Can you remember? It's all recorded in Matthew chapter 28. He summoned the 11 to a place on a mountain in Galilee, the land where the great light dawned for the people sitting in the shadows of death. Isaiah, I think it's the 9th chapter. And there, while they were gathered, summoned to him. Can you remember? Some were not sure. Some thought, what is going on here? Some believed, some knelt down. So what did he do? He spoke to them. He said, you know the path. You know it. You saw it. You were laid to rest. You were refreshed. Even in the shadow of death, you were comforted because he ascended death. He was resurrected. Goodness and mercy followed you. That's the way. The way, the path of righteousness. Go on. Carry on. He told them, teach them everything that I taught you. So the disciples were made apostles. Go on, teach them what I taught you. Apostle sat at his feet. An apostle touched him, listened to him, knew all the words that he taught them. All those words encapsulated in the law and the prophets. Luke 24, the Bible, he's giving them the Bible. Teach them from the Bible and baptize them, a second sacrament. The Lord's table, Holy Communion, baptism. He's actually giving them a house to dwell in, the church. All the structures, the forms of the Old Testament, the tabernacle, the temples, the sacrifices, the priests, the Levites, he in that moment brings them together as the good shepherd, not as a hired hand, and he gives his church. Now the apostles, the doctrine of the apostles, the Bible, teach them, baptize them, let they join Holy Communion at his table. Goodness and mercy will follow you. The stone that was rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone. And upon the cornerstone, brothers and sisters, the foundations press. The apostles, the New Testament, the prophets, the Old Testament, imperishable, immovable, for the length of days, a house to dwell in. And then he summarizes it. I am with you for eternity. I am with you. It's not the words of a hired hand. These are the words of the Good Shepherd. The very first time, and I'm closing now, the very first time that he told his flock that I am the Lord, I am with you, are recorded in Genesis chapter 28. Can you remember Jacob, tired, slept? He used a stone as a pillow, and then he had a dream of a ladder that connected earth and heaven, and angels were descending and ascending, and on top of the ladder, the Lord, God, spoke the word. It was Christ speaking, because God, in terms of his word, always speaks through Christ. So he spoke, and Jacob heard his words. So what did he say? I am the Lord, your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth. They shall spread out to the west, the east, the north, and the south. And you and your offspring shall be blessed to dwell therein. And then he ended his words by telling Jacob, I am with you. I am with you on top of the ladder. And now he entered the sheepfold through the door. He became man, and with them, the offspring of Jacob, with them, at the end of his earthly history, he confirms, I am the Lord, I am with you. And then, blessing them, he ascended to sit on the right hand of God the Father on the throne. He is not a hired hand. Goodness and grace, mercy will follow you from the heart of God, eternal Father, Son, Holy Spirit. From that history, when he entered the sheepfold through the door, and from the throne where he is now, and where this good shepherd is guiding us with goodness and mercy. And the dwelling, a house, the church, of Christ. It's not the work of a hired hand. Brothers and sisters, what a shepherd. Amen. Let us thank. Father, we thank you again for Christ our Lord, who entered through the door of the sheepfold, who became man, who died, who was buried, and conquered death through the resurrection. We thank you for the ascension, because from you, from the throne, goodness and mercy follows us. We are rested in a dwelling. We are refreshed in the church. We know your voice because you know our names. You are not a hired hand. Receive our deepest gratitude. And Father, guide us in the week, protect us during the coming days, follow us with goodness and mercy, to the glory of your name. Amen. Collections. So you have the opportunity now to serve the Lord with thanksgiving.
It was the first time since coming to this congregation that I had to sit there on this seat. So it helped me to remember that I should maybe do the sermon shorter. Now, the noises, I was so aware when we stand here and do a sermon, we are not aware of the noises. I'm not noises, the sounds around us. And I realized how beautiful the sounds of the birds really are. And then we do have this supportive sort of ministry from the church next door, the Methodists, with the hymns that they sing. And so this is a general revelation of God in terms of the creation, and then very specifically in terms of the Word of God. And so it was just an awareness. And then again, so we are so aware of the providence of God, and here we are. Let's thank Him for this offering. Father God, you are just so wonderful, always providing. Providing again and again. And therefore, we are so grateful this morning. Thank you. We know, we are so aware of the circumstances and the context of society today. And here in Windhoek, here in the center of the city. And therefore, we are really privileged to have this offering. And therefore, we pray, Father, to be a light in this world, and to bring the word of grace and love to the people around us. Yes, we need an offering like this. And therefore, we pray for our ministries, we pray for our leadership, we pray for our congregation, and every single one here around us. May this offering be a witness of God's love through Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen. We are going to close with, we're not going to close. We never close. we are being sent, and hymn 74 says, "To God be the glory." It's a beautiful hymn. At least I understand these words. And let's sing verse 1 and verse 2. Let's stand and sing it together. It was really an eye-opener for me when I realized, well, for the first time, I understand something about surely, that word surely. But what I didn't know was that Matthew 28 ends with also a surely. And that is what we have heard this morning. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Surely. That is true. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Amen.